You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Is the plague at all a threat in the modern day?
No.
The Wire. The government has finally released its long-coveted curriculum rewrite for subjects ranging from science to drama. The new curriculum has faced growing criticism from sections of the education sector, with some calling the new curricula old-fashioned and criticizing it for sidelining Te Tiriti o Waitangi and Māori knowledge. I spoke to Professor of Māori Education Philosophy Georgina Stewart about her views on the changes specifically to New Zealand's science curriculum and whether those changes are fit for purpose.
I just wanted to start off with asking about the new changes. Actually, let's take a step back further. There have been multiple curriculum rewrites over the last couple of years, both from started by the Labour government and this new national-led government as well. I was wondering whether you could give some context to our listeners about why it is we need to rewrite curriculums in Aotearoa.
Curriculum is always in relation to its context. So curriculum theory is really that part of educational theory that pays attention to changing context and the need to update curriculum. The last time that the curriculum was updated in Aotearoa, New Zealand was in the mid-2000s, and I put it like that because it's not something that happens all at once. And that's the case with what's been happening in the last few years. So although in a way you're correct to say that there's been a number of rewrites, there have been processes started but not completed that began under the last Labour-led government, and then when the National-led government came in 2023, the direction that those developments were going in was subject to considerable change. So it's actually not until, the day before yesterday, that I was able to see the new science curriculum. It's something we've been waiting for at least a year. We've known it's coming. And there's been a lot of uncertainty and some debates in the sector. We know of people who've been invited to be part of the writing group and then uninvited. So it's the case that there's been a lot of anticipation of this curriculum. But the one that we are now looking at, the one that was released on Tuesday evening or afternoon, is the first new science curriculum that's been released to the public since the mid-2000s.
I want to ask about two things, but I'll split up the question. The first one is around the process of curriculum rewrites. So you talked to me a little bit about people who've been invited and then uninvited. Yes, there we go. So we've talked about how curriculum rewrites are, a process, and those are processes that have been initiated over multiple instances, and that it's culminated in this new science curriculum that's come out. I was wondering if you could give me some insight into whether you think this process by which we redesign and rewrite curricula for new contexts are fit for purpose, whether we do it well. One, and then two, what is the sort of changing context these new curricula are trying to respond to?
Well, for about the last 30 years or so in this country, there's been a process of, we could call it writing curriculum by committee. So fairly large groups representing the different stakeholders, primary, secondary, principals, all sorts of kind of science leaders. I am really thinking about the science curriculum here. So the curriculum has different parts, and the processes that have been started in the last few years have really started with the big picture stuff. So that's why it sort of seems like it's been going for a while. So that kind of curriculum writing by committee is designed, to have buy-in really from a wide range of stakeholders in the education sector. That I guess it's fair to say that there's First of all, no curriculum is perfect, and a school curriculum is, it's always a political hot potato. Because what it's, you know, education, what's taught in schools is one of the few levers that the government can press, really, to make changes, local changes. I think the pluses and minuses, well, that committee sort of approach, the large writing group, the representation of a wide range of stakeholders, obviously it enables buy-in, you know, encourages buy-in. People feel included, people feel it's, they've contributed to it, so they are inclined to back it. So that's not really happened now in this latest round. It's been a much more top-down driven process. But I guess the minuses are that when you have such a wide, you know, range of people involved in writing a curriculum, you end up with something that really nobody's happy with, number one, you know, because you're sort of trying to find a common ground between people with widely varying interests and ideas. But the other thing is that curriculum does have a sort of an expertise, you know, associated with it, which is what I referred to before as curriculum theory. So it is quite astounding. I've read quite a lot of curriculum theory in the course of my studies and research. And there's just things that people are trying to do that just don't make sense. I believe myself personally that we in this country, we've made the mistake of expecting the curriculum to try and do too much and solve things like social problems, things like economic inequity, that a curriculum simply can't do. So those are sort of some of my thoughts about the process. And then in terms of changes, well, you know, we see changes coming from, say, there are new things that come in, like financial literacy and coding. Those are things that people have kind of said should be in the curriculum recently that weren't in the past. As the sort of whole world of work and employment changes, those things will impact. Yeah, and then I guess things like the current sort of, we're facing a future that's increasingly uncertain in terms of the environment. So that would pertain particularly to science, but across the whole curriculum as well.
So I'd love to now get into the science curriculum itself. Can you maybe give me a little overview on what those changes look like for our listeners? And then also just walk me through a couple of your thoughts about these changes, whether you think they're effective. You mentioned the fact that you don't want curriculum. You personally don't think curriculum should be doing too much. Do you think it's scoped appropriately, that it's going to be able to respond to those changes in context that we're talking about? Or is there still more work to do in this public consultation phase?
It looks to me like it's fairly ready to go. I don't think there's necessarily going to be a lot of change as a result of the consultation period. And I would like to just focus my comments on the science curriculum, in particular years 0 to 10, because that's what's been released in the last couple of days. And I'm somewhat embarrassed because it turns out that there's a lot of negative reaction coming through. I mean, just looking on, you know, at the media reports, principles and things like that. So I don't want my comments to be seen as a great big tick for the whole thing. I think that it is concerning that there's been a lack of transparency and so on and so forth. But if we just look at science curriculum for years 0 to 10, so that's mostly our primary schools, right? And in primary schools, teachers do not have science degrees generally. And science is often one part of the curriculum that is not taught much. We can talk about things like the narrowing of the curriculum that was encouraged by numeracy and literacy standards in the previous National League government, but for a whole host of reasons, research and talking with teachers will tell you that science is often very much comes at the end of the line in the primary classroom. So I'm coming from that point of view that the simpler, the clearer the curriculum, the more likely it seems to me that teachers will teach it with it. I like the fact that in this new version, it gets straight to the parts that the teachers really want to know about, you know, the content, what's to be taught, the teaching and learning content. I like the fact that each section starts with a brief list of the typical kinds of equipment and materials that would be required at that level. Those are sort of practical ways in which I think this curriculum is kind of closer to the classroom teacher's needs. The number of strands has been reduced, and we've gone from 5 levels covering year 0 to 10 to 4 phases. Those are significant changes because they sort of simplify the overall structure, but it's not like they're hard to get your head around, if you see what I mean. So I think that those are to the good. But the main change, I think, for me, is that the nature of science has been completely dropped, whereas in the previous curriculum it was an overarching strand. But it was never taught well. People don't know what it is. I mean, unless you're going to do a doctorate or at least a master's degree and really read into, you know, the nature of science for me. Okay, let me unpack this a bit more, because what do we mean by the nature of science? But, you know, the question of what is science is a very complicated question. And there is a thing called the philosophy of science. I never even heard that term until after the end, after I'd finished doing a Master of Science back in a long time ago. We don't need to go about that, but my point, I guess, there is that although there is this big branch of philosophy devoted to the philosophy of science, you don't hear about it if you're studying science. So nature of science has tended to be, by kind of shoving it into the primary science curriculum, I believe that was a sort of an interference rather than a good thing. So for me, the fact that it's been dropped because it was never taught well, because it couldn't be, how could it be taught well, is a win.
You've pointed out something around this nature of science part that I'd like to talk a little bit about as well. Maybe quickly, does this new curriculum continue some of the stuff that was brought in the last rewrite around Mātauranga Māori and Indigenous scientific knowledge?
Well, yeah, that's another whole big complication that has been a source of very active debate and discussion in the sector. And I'm pleased to see that it does retain enough Māori content to make it clearly a curriculum from here, from Aotearoa New Zealand.
The last question I sort of wanted to ask is around the global competitiveness of the curriculum that we're trying to implement here. I think a common complaint or observation, particularly from young people who are engaged in STEM, who are engaged in STEM education, has been around the fact that comparatively, when they look at their peers who have studied the Cambridge curriculum or the IB curriculum, or who've come from overseas, they are much more globally advantaged. They can translate the skills and the knowledge they have gained in those curricula into admissions into universities, more competitive research programs, better paying jobs in STEM fields. Now, do you think that the curriculum that we're sort of designing here is allowing us to have that same sort of rigor and global competitiveness in STEM fields?
Well, we're sort of conflating a lot there. Cambridge and IB are not so much curricula as qualifications. And so they are usually held up
the against science NCA. Curricula in Cambridge and IB are specifically designed for those qualifications, though, right? So are the ones that we're doing for the New Zealand Qualifications Authority, do they stack up against those?
They're usually done instead of NCEA, which is our homegrown qualification. It's quite hard to really get into all of that right now. That's why I did preface my remarks, but I'm just really talking about the year 0 to 10 science curriculum. But here's the thing. Everyone wants more kids to learn more science. Everyone wants New Zealand to grow our own Kiwi scientists. But you don't get to be a scientist unless you, do a PhD for a start, right? And you don't get to do a PhD in science unless you can go to university and do a BSc. And you don't get to do that unless you've qualified in science at school. So, you know, it all drives back down. But if we're not even teaching science at all in primary science classrooms, then, you know, that's we're nowhere. So I'm looking at the need to kind of have much more science being taught in the primary, you know, this year 0 to 10. Kids up to, you know, going up to sort of, this is the year 10, as you know, I'm sure, is sort of around 13, 14-year-olds. So we've got to have science being taught better there to encourage more kids, because the numbers tell us that once a student has the option to drop science, which happens in year 11 usually, most students do drop it.
That was Professor Georgina Stewart on her views on the changes to New Zealand's science curriculum.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.